Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, we are joined by Councilman-at-Large J.P. Morrell. J.P., welcome to the show.
Thanks, Noel. Happy to be here.
J.P., today y'all were supposed to take up the issue of recycling, a presentation that was made to the committee the other day. What happened at today's council meeting?
Well, as you know, there are several members who are not on the Public Works Committee, so we made the determination to defer that to October 23rd to give everybody who's interested additional time to try and reach a compromise potentially on it. As you know, we have some significant concerns because though the federal government does provide some grant money to do this program, there's some concerns about what the tail end of it looks like. Because as you know, you get the money to start something, then you have to continually produce the money to keep it going as part of the obligation of doing the program. So we're giving all sides a little more time to try and work out what the actual numbers look like, especially when we're looking at deficits right now, because we want to make sure that whatever we do, if we do anything, is financially sustainable.
Under the terms and conditions of the grant, is there a provision that makes you want to go to an opt-out as opposed to an opt-in structure?
That's one of the questions I know that was asked to the Office of Resilience, because obviously for many people choose to recycle. Many people kind of can care less. I'm a recycler, but I will tell you that it took my wife, months of my wife telling me to stop throwing pizza boxes in the recycling to figure out what actually goes in the box and what can't. Because there's always kind of an assumption for people who even want to recycle that if you don't know how to do it properly, you could simply contaminate the load, and then that recycling load becomes trash for the dump. So there's a huge educational component. It's kind of why the city is operating continually on an opt-in track, just because those people who actually want to recycle, we want to make sure we're doing it as efficiently as possible. The program as structured really is from a perspective of kind of seeing everyone in. There has been some surveying that has been done that has shown that I think it was 85% of people would not want to enter a recycling program without education. So, I mean, obviously, I think for efficiency and to not confuse people, an opt-in is better than an opt-out. But at the same time, there is $5 million. If we can find some way to expend that money all the way down in a way that creates a sustainable program, that's certainly the goal. But you know, because you used to be in government, federal grant money always has strings attached. You need to make sure those strings don't tie you up 3-4 years down the line. And those are kind of the unanswered questions that this will give us more time to talk about.
Yeah. Let's pivot to another issue. The council actually, I think, requested of the legislative auditor to assist in trying to determine what the ultimate deficit is as it relates to the city budget. I thought that was a great move on the part of the council. Someone independent, third party. It seems as though internally within city administration or Mayor Cantrell's administration, that's been a problem to determine a definitive number relative to the deficit.
Correct. Actually, we moments ago voted on that, and it was approved unanimously. All the council members are co-authors on it. The goal is we have to resolve this year's budget deficit because we do not want to hamper the next council or next administration with trying to resolve that deficit going into the new year. So in order for you to address a problem, you need to know the four corners of the exactly what the deficit is, because we're going to have to make cuts throughout the budget as well as raising revenue to address the deficit. you certainly want to make sure, especially when you're looking at the cuts, that we're not cutting more than we need to resolve it, and also to make sure that, you know, it is done in a definitive way as defensible. What I want to point out is something that the Council Vice President, Helena Moreno, said, which is, remember when we had the legislative auditor come into the sheriff's office, he actually found money that the sheriff had not disclosed. There is always the possibility that the deficit may be larger. It also might be smaller. So it's just having that third party, like you said, independently come in and really say, this is the definitive number. It really gives everyone, including the public, a sense of comfort knowing that there is a definitive number and how can we collectively work together to resolve it. I also want to highlight something, and you've followed this the entire time. There is a huge misconception about when the council was aware of the deficit. And as you know, we were made aware of the deficit only because the mayor backed out of the school board supplement. And that was the excuse for backing out of it. And even at that meeting, I think it was February 11th of this year, the CAO and the chief head of finance were still arguing in front of us as to whether a deficit existed. I think also it's very interesting, and you would appreciate this, Newell, because I know in Jefferson, the council mayor, council president format's different. On the one hand, a lot of the people who are aggressively saying the council should have done more are also the ones who support lawsuits by people like Charles Rice to hamper the council's attempts to have more control over the budget. The reality is that if the council could resolve the budget deficit on its own, we would have done it. The way our charter is structured, we don't have much authority over the budget once we pass it. And certainly, I would agree, I think you would, having councils have more control and oversight over the budget year-round rather than once per year would lead to better outcomes. But you can't on one hand say the council should stay in its lane and us having the God Emperor Mayor and then blame the council for the authority you don't want to give it to resolve the problem.
Yeah, you know, that's a matter of political convenience and expediency for some folks. I make these observations the whole time. I actually was, I think, one of the few that made a big issue out of, you know, how it was revealed to the council that there was actually a deficit. Because in January and February, everyone was led to believe we were bathing in money. I mean, you know, it wasn't a question of funding. Yeah, it wasn't a question of funding things. That was not the issue. It was a question of being able to execute on these plans and moving forward. No big deal. Well, there was a huge chasm between where we were in March, April, and where we were in January, February.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's 100% correct. We ended 2024 going into 2025 with the surplus because we were relying upon the publicly available information that the administration had given us. Really, what is very troubling is that in retrospect, and it came out in that February meeting, they were aware of a deficit that began with the Taylor Swift concerts where the amount of revenue that was generated was below expectations. And the amount of money that was spent on police overtime had created the deficit. Now, the thing is that no one ever wants to undermine public safety. And obviously, if overtime is necessary, then that's something we should do. But you have to put that all into the – you have to put all of those considerations into the docket when you're doing the budget for a future year. What I will say, and I want to give credit where it's due, the new CAO, Joe Threat, he is actually compiling data for 2026 Sugar Bowl and Mardi Gras right now based upon historical patterns to try to make sure that as we budget into 2026, that we're looking at real overtime usage over time versus just kind of guesstimating, which is what NOPD has been doing. They've been kind of guesstimating and lowballing overtime and then kind of overspending, and the administration adjusts. But, I mean, that's also kind of a fundamental flaw in how we budget. If we budgeted with hard numbers and the administration had to come back on a monthly basis to move money around to pay bills, we'd have figured out the budget deficit probably in October of last year because the overtime payments would have been in excess of what was projected. Because the way our charter is written and because the council's oversight is not nearly as strong as I would like it to be, all we do is true up at certain periods. They true up during the mid-year adjustment, and we true up when we start the next budget. So it's like because there's not many hard opportunities where the administration has to really give an actual accounting of the council's always reacting to it. I would love to have more authority of a council to regulate the budget that we ultimately have to deal with, but some of the same people who are constantly lamenting the council doesn't do enough also want the council to have no power to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, and that all goes back to the city charter and, you know, and what how that all plays out. As you well know, I've had the City Services Coalition on my show many times. I've read through their document now three times, although not perfect. But it does make some observations that I think should be considered and debated as to how these lines of governance actually work and who's going to be responsible for what. It's going to be interesting, JP, because I really believe an operational audit needs to be done of city government. Does anybody really know whether or not we have the right amount of employees? I mean, my gut tells me that we probably have too many. I mean, I shrunk the size of the JPSO from roughly 1,750 people to 1,490. We did it by attrition. We didn't have a RIF, a reduction in force. But, you know, the fact of the matter is we recognize once we started looking at ourselves critically that there were a lot of opportunities for operational efficiency that we never took advantage of. And we became a more horizontal organization as opposed to vertical, and I think more efficient and better operating in as well. And it would be a nice exercise, I think, for the city to go through. Your thoughts real quick.
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of merit to that. I know, for example, in a most recent DPW investigation we had, one of the recommendations was we had too many supervisors. I mean, I don't know if it's an issue necessarily of how many employees we have. I think there are departments that have too many, departments that don't have enough, and I think there is an effort consistently to try and promote people in the positions when there's not even enough people under them to supervise. So I do think you're right in that there probably does need to be an operational audit to find out where the needs are and staff up to those needs. And as you know, just looking at a law enforcement agency, for example, if you've got more lieutenants than sergeants, you're just pouring money into a fireplace because you don't have enough people for them to supervise. So I think at every level of government, there needs to be a review of where we need people and to restructure government based on that.
And we found that in our audit, and we had to adjust. Now, the rank and file didn't like it because it was less opportunities to get promoted. But, you know, if you're going to run the department efficiently and meet the fiduciary obligation you have to the taxpaying public, those are things you got to do, right? And
exactly.
It is a reality. As always, we appreciate your time, your insight, and thank you so much for joining us. We know you're busy. Best of luck. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Noel. Have a great weekend.
All right. J.P. Morrell, Councilman at Large. We will be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.